It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Lord, bless Your word today. Help me to preach it in a way that be pleasing to You. We ask that the Holy Spirit would be here in this service. We ask, Lord, that You would take Your word and apply it. God, we ask that You would humble our hearts and open our eyes and ears and our understanding. And we would leave here as Christians, Lord, better equipped to serve and love You. And God, if someone's lost today, we pray especially that the Holy Spirit would convict them and draw them, and that they would see their need for Jesus Christ and trust You today, Lord. We ask these things in Your name and for Your sake, giving You the praise and honor and glory. And amen. This psalm, sometimes called the Old Hundredth, is the only psalm that has the title, A Psalm of Praise. A Psalm of Praise. One man said, this psalm brings heaven to earth and lifts earth to heaven. And I just want to look at particularly one verse today, and that's verse 3. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The first thing we see mentioned here is knowledge. Know ye. Know ye. There's a lot of folks today who say they know God, but I'm afraid that they only know the God of their imagination and not the God of the Bible. Many people have formed an idea about God that it does not line up with this book. Also, it should not surprise us that most people believe in a God that behaves and thinks much like themselves. In other words, their God is just a bigger version of themselves. But God says in Isaiah chapter 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, when there's a lot of folks today who are worshiping a God of their imagination, and He's a pretty puny God. His judgments, the Bible says, are unsearchable, and His ways are past finding out. Many today also worship false gods, do they not? They sincerely worship, and they're sincere, but they sincerely worship and pray to gods that are no gods. And there are many today that worship. We're living in a day, just like in Romans chapter 1 tells us about, we're living in a day where a lot of people are worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. We've got a lot of people today who are more concerned about the environment than they are their soul. We've got a lot of people today that's more concerned about saving the whales than they are saving the unborn baby. We're living in a world that's flipped over. It's turned the wrong way, and that's why when the gospel comes to a people, it turns the world upside down. The Bible reveals to us what we need to know about God. And it tells us the truth about mankind. And people, for the most part, don't care to know the truth. You'd be shocked to find out that most people would like to be lied to when it comes to God and the Bible and their own condition. They want to hear, as the prophet of old said, prophesy unto us smooth things. They want to hear smooth things. They'd rather hear fables. They have itching ears. They don't want to hear a preacher. They'd rather hear somebody teach them. They can't endure, as the Bible says, they cannot endure sound doctrine. You say, well, doctrine divides. Exactly. It does. Most Christians today have what J.C. Ryle, the old English preacher, called jellyfish Christianity. Jellyfish Christianity. He said a Christianity without bone or muscle or sinew, without any distinct teaching about an atonement or the work of the Spirit or justification or the way of peace with God, a vague, foggy, misty Christianity, of which the only watchwords seem to be, you must be liberal and kind, you must condemn no man's doctrinal views, you must think everybody is right and nobody is wrong. Well, his day, or should I say our day, is much like his day, where people don't want to hear the truth, and if you tell people the truth, they say, well, you're a hate monger. Or you're intolerant. Well, the Bible is the truth. This world wants to hear that man is basically good. But the Bible doesn't say that about man. This world wants to hear that God is going to overlook everything and everything's going to be all right in the end. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. The world doesn't want to hear that. James chapter 2 and verse 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? We've got a lot of folks today who say they believe God, but they believe in this God of their imagination. They believe in a God that is not the God of the Bible. As a matter of fact, if they really knew who the God of the Bible was, a lot of folks would turn from Him and say, we don't like this God. It's not enough, of course, to say, I believe in God. As a matter of fact, in this area of the world, you'll find few atheists. You'll find a lot of people say, oh yeah, I believe in God. But that's not enough, is it? The devils believe. Yeah, and they tremble. They tremble. Our text says, know ye. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. This is a noisy world, isn't it? It's a noisy world. We live in a society that requires noise. Everywhere you go is noisy. We live in a society that the TVs are going all the time, the radios are going all the time, the computers are going all the time, the telephones are going all the time. We're living in a noisy world. And I think people oftentimes surround themselves with noise so they don't have to think about God. They always have something going so that they're never still in their mind. Their mind doesn't have the opportunity to think. We're living in a day where people don't think. It's a good thing to just sit on the back porch with a cup of coffee and think. Right, Brother John? Just watch the river. God said, be still. Be still. In a lot of cases, I think noise is used to drown out men's conscience. You know, when you pull up beside that guy at the stoplight and it's going, and your windows are rattling and his windows are rattling, and he can't possibly be thinking because you're having a difficulty doing it, and he's in the next car beside of you. A lot of times, people try to drown out their conscience, and they try to drown out God. You go into their house, and the TV's full blast, you know. You try to talk to them about the Lord, and you have to ask them, can I turn that off a minute? And then they give you a dirty look. Some people's TVs never shut off. They run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Constant noise. Constant noise. I think it also needs to be said that there's a lot of people know God, but it's only in a superficial way. They have a head knowledge, if you will. They have a head knowledge of God. They have performed, and I like to call it a ritual, but they've performed some ritual, and I'll even go as far as to call it a Baptist ritual. They've raised their hand at a meeting, or they've come to the front of the church at the altar, or they've signed a decision card, or they've been baptized, but yet they don't really know God. The Bible tells us here in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. To know Him is to know Him in the forgiveness of sins. To know Him is to know that He is your sin bearer. He carried your sins. To know Him is to know that your sin was placed on Him and that His righteousness was placed on you. That's what it means to know Him. To know Him. Look at, hold your place there in Psalm 100 and look at Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. I haven't got to the outline yet, so you guys better start listening a little faster. We'll never get out of here. Romans chapter 4. And look at verse 3. Romans chapter 4. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I want to ask you today, have your sins been forgiven? Have your sins been forgiven? Is His righteousness been imputed to you, as David could say, as Abraham could say? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man whose iniquities are covered. Has your sins been covered? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? The Bible says that He washed us from our sins in His own blood. He washed us from our sins in His own blood. We sing that song. I want to ask you this question. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? That's what it means to know the Lord. That's what it means to know God. Is He your Savior? Is He your Savior? The Bible says, know ye, verse 3 of Psalm 100, know ye the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and we, not we ourselves, we are His people. Aren't you glad, if you're saved today, that you're His people? And the sheep of His pasture. All right. We're going to hurry. My first point, we are His people. We are His people. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. I want to say, first of all, we are His people. And if you're saved today, you didn't save yourself. If you're saved today, you're saved because He made you. The Bible says it is He that hath made us. If left to yourself, you'd never choose God. He sought us. We didn't seek Him. You'd never run to God. The Bible says that you'd never run to the God of this book anyhow. You know, you might run to the God of your imagination. There's a lot of folks like to use God like a spare tire, you know. When things get going bad, they'll cry out to God, but really, they don't really care anything about God, the God of this book. But the Bible says we are His people, and He hath made us. By nature, the God of the Bible is our enemy. Before you're saved, God is an enemy to you. You'd not run to Him. No one would run to their enemy. The Bible says you wouldn't seek Him. The Bible tells us that we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. I want to say under that heading that we are His sheep. We are His sheep. We've been bought with a price. He's purchased us. We have His brand on us. If you're saved by Him, He's marked you. He's marked you. He's put His mark on you. The Bible tells us that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And we sing that song, He sought me and He bought me. He sought me and He bought me. I want to tell you, we're His sheep. We're His sheep. And I'm so glad He's my great shepherd. He's my shepherd. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you also that He rules us, He guides us, He feeds us, and He protects His sheep. He rules us, He guides us, He feeds us, and He protects His sheep. And His sheep follow Him, and they trust Him, and they obey Him, and they love Him. We are His people. Number two, we are twice born people. His people are twice born people. By that I mean all of His people have experienced the new birth. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must be born again. All of God's people are twice born people. Also, all of God's people have a new nature. Not the nature of a goat. You know, goats, you know what goats do? I had goats in my churches before I pastored. Goats say, but. Goats, but. How many of you have ever been around goats? There's something kind of eerie about them goats, isn't it? They're an odd creature. Just looking them in the eyes, almost kind of eerie. But the Bible says we're not goats, we're sheep. We're sheep. All of God's people have a new nature. A Christian is a new creation, the Bible says, with new likes and new dislikes. And God doesn't make people better, He makes people brand new. God doesn't make people better. He makes people brand new. So we're a twice born people. Have you been born again? Thirdly, we love being with God's people. We love being with His people. The Bible says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people. God's people love being with other Christians. We like being with other Christians. Christians have the same peace, the same joy. the same Spirit and the same Shepherd. Sheep love to travel together. Sheep like to travel with one another. The Bible says that we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. One of the ways you can know you're saved, friend, one of the ways you can know you're saved, you mark this down, is you love the brethren. I can tell you that on the authority of God's Word. One of the ways you know you're a Christian is you love being around other Christians. So, number one, we're His people. Number two, we're twice born. Number three, we love being with His people. Don't you love being with God's people? Number four, we're looking unto Jesus. We're looking unto Jesus. Our hope is not in this world. I'll just be honest with you. I'm a Baptist, but I'm not looking to the Baptist. I'm looking to Christ. The Baptist can't save you, friend. As much as I enjoy being a Baptist, the Baptist can't save you. We're to be looking unto Jesus. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not political. I told a bunch of that last week. I was preaching up in the mountains. I said, if you have hope in politics, if that's where your hope lies, I'd like to meet you after the service. I have somewhat to say unto thee. You have got real issues if your hope's in politics. I can't imagine anybody being that dumb to stake their hopes on the political realm. As John Newton said, it'd be like painting the cabin of a sinking ship. It'd be like decorating the parlor in a house that was on fire to place your hopes in the political realm. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not in politics. And I hope that your hope is not in possessions. You say, well, I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to buy that and I'm going to get this and I'm going to have that and I'm going to buy this and I'm going to... Hey, listen, there was a guy in the Bible like that and he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger. And God looked down over the battlements of heaven and had two words to him. He said, thou fool. Thou fool, you better say, as James says, you better say, if the Lord wills tomorrow, I'm going to do this and this. If the Lord wills, I will. I wouldn't stake my hope in this world's possessions, would you? I would not stake my... The fellow I work with went by a neighbor's house the other day, and the house was on fire. No one was home. But out back was two propane tanks, big ones, the kind that heat a house, not the little kind that you put for your grill. And those propane tanks had both burst. They have some kind of release system on them. And it was like a torch, both of them, just shooting flame. And the house pretty much destroyed. My friend was able to pull away a camper and a truck. They hooked a chain to a camper and a truck, pulled them away from the house, but the house was destroyed. Everything you have today can be taken away from you. Those of us who went through some of this flood understand that. I wouldn't stake my hope in this world's possessions. We're looking unto Jesus. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, isn't he? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's the good shepherd. We need to be looking to him. One of the old hymns goes, it was by Horatio Bonar. He said, 'Twas he that loved my soul. 'Twas he that washed me in his blood. 'Twas he that made me whole. 'Twas he that sought the lost. That found the wandering sheep. 'Twas he that brought me to the fold. 'Tis he that still doth keep.' He's the keeper of my soul. He's the keeper of my soul. We are his people, number one. We're twice born people. We love being with his people. I loved being with y'all last night in fellowship, being around other Christians. I love being with God's people. We love looking unto Jesus. That's where our hope is. If you're saved by the grace of God, our hope is in Christ. It's not in the church. Hopefully it's not in the preacher. Please don't put any hope in me. It's not in the Baptist. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. If you put your hope in a man, he'll let you down every time. I can assure you that. Then, number five, we're a separated people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." We're a separated people. We're not to be like the world. We're not to act like the world. We're not to talk like the world. We're not to look like the world. We're a separated people. The Bible tells us, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and we not ourselves. We are His people." If you're saved by the grace of Almighty God, He dwells in you. He dwells in you. Do you know this is a big thing, and there's some young people here in this room, and I'm going to say something here to make some of you probably about half mad, but I'm not running for election. You won't find me on the ballot, so it don't matter what you think, all right? I'm going to tell you something. You young people, you young girls especially, don't tattoo your body all up. Don't do that to yourself. You say, is it a sin to have a tattoo? I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing, it don't look good. And your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you're not doing yourself. When you get about 60 and you're all wrinkled up and I can't even read what your tattoo is anymore, you'll wish you hadn't done that. And if you've got a tattoo here today, I ain't mad at you. I'm just saying this for the benefit of the young people. Don't do it. Young men, don't do it. It's just, you know, that a lot of times people get diseases fooling around that stuff. You know, I understand. I know this is a culture. I can't wait till it goes out of style. I crawled out from underneath a house yesterday, or day before yesterday, and there was a man standing out there, and I mean, he looked like the Incredible Hulk. He was big. And I mean, he was tattooed from the top of his neck. Everything I could see was that blue collar. And that's his business. And for all I know, he might even be a Christian. But I'm telling you, it's not good. It's not good. And I say there'll come a day he'll probably regret doing that to himself. You young people, I think you'll regret doing that to yourself. And I won't charge you for that. I'm just trying to give you some good advice. Okay? We're separated people. When I was a kid, the only people who had tattoos, I'm going to just be blunt with you, the only people who had tattoos was biker babes, guys who'd been in the Navy, and rock and roll stars. That's about it. Another thing, I don't understand how people who can't afford to buy a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread can somehow afford tattoos. You're welcome. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. One of the things about being God's people is you follow Christ, don't you? You follow Christ. We are His people, the Bible says. We are twice born people. We love being with God's people. We're looking to Christ for our strength and our help and our daily walk. And we're a separated people. We're not to be like everybody else. You know, these young people, they go and they get a big old gauge in their ear. You know, you could shoot a shotgun through it. And they get all tattooed up. And they all look the same, you know. And they say they're doing it because they want to be different. We're supposed to be a separated people. Then number six, we experience the trials of His people. You know, God's people aren't exempt from trials. We experience the trials of His people. God's people are often a tried people, aren't they? They often go through difficult times. And the Bible tells us it rains on the just and on the unjust, doesn't it? The Bible tells us not to be surprised when trials and sorrows come into our life. We shouldn't be shocked when that happens, because it's going to happen, isn't it? Everybody's going to have trials. Everybody's going to have some sorrows. Was Jesus not called a man of sorrows? You're going to have sorrows. The Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." In other words, we're going to have some suffering. We're going to have some difficulties. We're going to have some trials. All of God's people are. Romans 8 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." In other words, the Apostle Paul's telling the people there at the Church of Rome, "Listen, I'm suffering, you're suffering, but it's not going to mean a thing when we get to heaven. It's not going to compare to anything. It's going to be a light thing when we get to heaven for what we've went through here." 1 Peter chapter 5 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." God is working on us. And sometimes He uses trials, sometimes He uses difficulties, and tribulation comes into our life, and He's doing it for a purpose. Everything He does is for a purpose. Isn't that good to know? Everything He does is for a purpose. James chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." There's a crown that awaits us. When you go through difficult times, remember that God has a plan, and He has a purpose, and we just need to submit ourselves to Him, because God's people, we're His people. We're His people. And God's people are sometimes going to have difficulties. They're going to have tribulation. They're going to have trials. They're going to have troubles. And I'll just be frank with you. It's a liar that tells you that you're not going to have difficulty. That whoever tells you that is not telling you the truth from a biblical perspective. But I will tell you this. Jesus Christ, it's no security from the storms, but He's perfect security in the storms. He's perfect security in the storms. He's our shelter in a time of storm, isn't He? He's our shelter in a time of storm. We can go to Him. There's been times in my life, and I'm sure there's probably been times in your life, if you've been saved a while, when you just basically crawled to God and said, "God, I'm in a mess. God, I need You. We need Your help here. We need Your help." He's perfect. He's perfect security in the storms. We're His people. We're a twice born people. We love being with God's people. I hope you're looking to Jesus. We're a separated people. And unfortunately, at times, we're going to have some trials. But He's there for us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Then, number 7. We enjoy the privileges of His people. You know, elsewhere in the book of Psalms, it says in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Steve, I don't know about you, but He's my shepherd. And if you're saved today, you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." My shepherd. Put the emphasis on my shepherd. Isn't that good to know that the Lord is your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. When the psalmist wrote that, when David wrote that, if you'll notice, he had confidence. He had confidence. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Can you say that today? The Lord is my shepherd. I want to ask you, what could be better than that? The God of this universe, the God who spoke everything to existence, the God who controls everything you see and hear and do, everything around you, He's in control. The God of the universe is my shepherd. What's better than that? If anybody has something better than that, jump up and tell me, because I'm interested. Well, it's not good grammar, but that's gooder than good. The Lord is my shepherd. And the Bible says He'll never leave us. He'll never leave us. You know, you'll hear people say, and I know what they mean, and I'm not being critical, but you'll hear people say, well, I got away from God. Well, it's hard to get away from somebody that lives inside of you. Hello. It's hard to get away from somebody that lives inside of you. And I admit, you can get backslid, and I hope you get front slid. But I'm telling you, He never leaves us. He never leaves us. He'll never forsake us. He always hears us. His eyes on the sparrow. Think about that. His eyes on the sparrow. Yesterday, the cats were going crazy. They were about to tear the curtains off the wall. Evelyn wasn't home, and so I was having to endure to the end. And there's a little baby robin out there on the windowsill. Little, you know how they look? They got all little fluffy feathers, you know, and he's sitting out there on the windowsill. And those cats were going berserk, you know. They'd like to eat that baby robin because that's the way the nature of a cat is. That's why the Bible says the devil's a roaring lion. But you know what? Think about this. I'm getting ready to tell you something as solid as, well, I was going to say Sears, but Sears is going under. It's solid. God saw that little robin. Ain't that something? God saw that little robin. His eyes on the sparrow. He sees a sparrow when it falls. One old commentator said, God attends the funeral of a sparrow. Ain't that something? And you know what? He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I'm telling you, that thrills me, don't it, you? He's my shepherd. His eyes always on us. We belong to Him. We belong to Him. We're His people. The Bible says we are His people. We are His people. Then last, we have His promises. I'm glad for His promises, aren't you? I'm glad for His promises. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have precious promises. God has given us some precious promises. Has He not? He's given us some great promises from the Word of God. They're precious promises. You can lay your head on them at night. You can comfort your soul with them. You can get joy from them. You can get peace from them. Knowing that He loves you and gave Himself for you and will never forsake you. Those are great promises. Great promises. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25, the Bible says, and this is the promise. Listen, and this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. And this is the promise that He hath promised us. Now, is God a promise breaker? Huh? And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. I'm glad that He's promised us eternal life. I'm glad that it's dependent upon Him. I'm glad that He's the keeper of my soul. I'm glad today that He's the author and the finisher of my faith and not me. I'm glad it doesn't depend on me. I'm glad I didn't procure my own salvation. I'm glad I'm not keeping myself safe. And I'm glad when it's all over that I'll have to say, by the grace of God, it was all Him. I'm glad He gave us these promises, aren't you? You say, I don't like that. Well, it's in the Bible. I don't know what to tell you. It's in the Bible. I want you to turn with me and we're quitting. John chapter 10. I'm going to read this and we're leaving. He's our people. I mean, we're His people. We are His people. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus speaking here, He says, my sheep. Verse 27 of John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. and they follow me. Isn't that wonderful? My sheep hear my voice. Do you hear His voice? Are you following Him? Are you following Him? I remember that bumper sticker I saw on the back of a car. It said, "Are you following Jesus this close?" Are you following Him? My sheep hear my voice, and they know, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I'm glad for that promise. I'm glad for that promise. You say, well, sometimes I don't feel like I'm a very good Christian. Well, you need to join the club. Fortunately for us, it's not based on the fact that we don't feel like we're very good Christians or not. Fortunately, the fact is, if you're saved, you're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus. You're trusting Him to be your Savior, and it's not anything you could do to keep you're not keeping yourself saved. You didn't save yourself. You're not keeping yourself saved. You're looking to Him. He is the author, the Bible says, and the finisher of your faith. And He has promised us eternal life. My sheep know my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. You say, how do I know I'm saved, preacher? Well, are you following Him? Are you following Him? If you're saved, if you're one of His sheep, you ought to have a desire to follow Him, should you not? I'm thinking of somebody right now. I used to pastor them. I saw some pictures of them recently on Facebook, and they look like they're way out in left field. I don't know if they're saved or not. I really have my doubts. But I'm telling you, if you're saved by the grace of God, He'll keep you. He'll keep you. These are promises He's given us, aren't they? Aren't you glad for the promises of God? Are you standing on the promises today? There's a lot of times, folks, I feel like a failure in my Christian walk. There's a lot of times I fail the Lord. I know I do. And I'm sure if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. But I'm happy to report to you today that I'm not saved by how I feel. And I'm not saved by what I do. I'm saved by what He done. And I have a promise. Even eternal life. Do you know Him today? Is He your Savior? Have you trusted Him? Have you trusted Him?